spend some time discussing how to, and then we'll chant, applying how to, rather than just in one ear and out the other ear and move on. So another thing we'd like to do is chant with japa. So if you have your beads, that's great. Anybody here not have their beads with them? Okay. Persons that need beads, do we have extra beads? Anyone? Does anyone think to bring extra beads?
I have
one set. Huh?
One set.
Yes. We have one set. So there's a family in the back. Because part of what we're going to do is apply the how-to to japa right now. And then how-to to kirtan. And then back to how-to and then kirtan. It's more experiential than... Because during the questions and answers and then afterwards there was... Did you find it?
Okay.
There was one of those glassing. My hole's got a bucket in it. My bucket has a hole in it. I hear, I get inspired, and then, whoa, I feel. How do I stay up here? So, one of the ways is application. So that's what we're going to do. So be ready to chant with quality, applying some of the how-to things. And these how-to things are going to be taken from our acharyas, because they not only want us to chant, but they want us to chant with quality. So they've given nice instructions. So many nice instructions that if you even just take one of them, the quality of your chanting will improve. What to speak of a number of them. So referring to our chart up here on the wall, we want to get to Krishna, or another way of saying the same thing is we want to perform our devotional service and particularly perform our chanting from the platform of the soul, call out Krishna from the soul. So the approach is through the heart, and we're going to go down one level next to our dear friend. Dear most friend, the mind. We know from Bhagavad Gita the mind can be our best friend or our greatest enemy. How often do we experience our mind as our best friend? And how often do we experience our mind as our greatest enemy? Largely the latter. The mind has several functions. Sometimes those functions are described as sankalpa vikalpa, accepting and rejecting. Without using the Sanskrit terms, Prabhupada described, here's what the mind does. The mind makes a plan. And of course the plan is how I can enjoy. Of course the I senses, not the soul, but it's some other thing, how I can enjoy. And as the mind is going along making a plan to enjoy, accepting, simultaneously the mind is tearing that plan down, saying, not exactly that, maybe a little more like. So creating and destroying, accepting and rejecting, and it goes on and on, and not just this lifetime, but lifetimes goes on and on, seems to never get tired. Indefatigable mind just keeps making plans to enjoy, and then rejecting those very plans, even before they happen. But to speak of, as we're going along, it's not bringing the happiness that we planned. That's manoratena in the language of the Bhagavatam. Like we just had rathayatra, and ratha is a chariot. So manoratena is the chariot of the mind, and we're being taken for a ride by the chariot of the mind. That's one of the scriptural senses of what the mind's function is. Another description is thinking, feeling, and willing, those functions of the mind. Just like from Bhagavad Gita, when contemplating the objects of the senses, one develops some attachment. That's what the mind does. If the mind is contemplating, thinking, and towards that object that you're thinking, then there's some feeling, like nice. It's not nice. Like, as soon as I think of that police officer lady last night, mind goes, I don't like. She was not nice. Like John Cousin stopping the, we were discussing on the way back. Maybe she'll have a dream. Maybe she had a dream. Lord, don't stop the chanting of the holy name. She didn't break the drum, but she said she was going to blank, blank, blank. Censored, I won't say what she said. So the mind has this thinking, and then feeling, and then willing. I want to do something about that situation. I said to Jai Jagannath on the way out here, I don't want to leave the devotees unprotected next time we go out there. I want to have protection for the devotees, so that they've got a plan. The mind. But mind can be the best friend if it's service to Krishna, and if it's not service to Krishna, then even you're doing something for Krishna, Krishna disappears from the screen. You're not remembering who you're doing it for. And how do I know, how does anyone know what is the will of Krishna except through spiritual master and guru and shastra? Guru, sadhu, shastra. That's our indicators. What is the desire of Krishna? That was very nice. The machine stopped. I was also going to use that as another example. I'm hearing that sound of the grinder out there, or whatever it is, mixer, and thinking. So it's thinking and feeling. I wish it would stop. I've got a plan. I'll pull the plug. So, and then action. Action follows the mind. Before actions, there's always thought. Now, something that our acharyas teach, here's Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Chanting starts at the heart level. Like, you know, it's not lip deep, it's heart deep. And what does that mean? It means even before we chant, there's something stirring in the heart. Like, you know, Prabhupada taught us we should chant. But how many people have heard we should chant and don't chant? There's something that happens in the heart before there's even, you know, some contemplation. You know, Mama Asura last night, if we told her, you should chant, police officer. I don't think she would. She would say, you know, censor. Now I'm really going to do it. So, but then the mind has its role. So, our acharyas give us some nice instructions about. I wanted to say that another function of the mind in its deluded state is to assist us very nicely in getting the wrong conception of things. The wrong conception of things. And then we work operatively with the wrong conception, thinking it's my conception, so it's got to be right. I mean, we laugh, but that's how it works. That's how it works. We think, certainly I've got it right, because it's me. Otherwise, I mean, I'm an honest person. If it wasn't right, I wouldn't be operating with this conception. I'd take another one. But we, you know, we own that conception. We think we own that conception. It's just an example. Vraja Vihari, our ISKCON resolve person, you know, conflict mediation and resolution person. He's got a master's degree in resolving conflicts, and we have a doctor's degree of how to make conflicts. So, one of the reasons for conflicts is the mind. Well, the mind has a conception that's different than another person's conception, and they're both thinking they have the right conception, and they clash. And so he recommended, if you want to learn about this, here's a book. The title of the book is, I didn't mean that. When somebody says, you ever had this? You say something or do something with a particular intention, even sometimes like an explicitly intention of kindness, and it's read the opposite. Why did you do that? Excuse me, but do what? I mean, it was just an act of, not an act, you did this. Because they read it in a different way. Although, what you said and what you did and the intention behind it were both kindness. Deliberately. So an example from the book was an American woman who went to London for the first time, knowing that people in Europe have an idea of the ugly American. You know what that phrase means, the ugly American. The, you know, proud, boisterous, loud, uncivilized, uncultured. We're great and everybody else is less than us. The ugly American tourist that goes and... So she went, I want to do the opposite. I want to be the opposite, show by example, you know, Americans are nice too, along with the Europeans. So she sat down at a cafe. It was one of those things that had booths, and all the booths were occupied, so she sat opposite where there was a British couple, and she said, I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to respect their privacy. And so she sat down, and the waitress came, and she ordered her thing, and after some time, they were looking at each other and then blurted out, you Americans, you're so rude. Excuse me, but what do you mean? You're so unpolite, impolite, you don't even speak to people. Just the basic thing of saying hello and being nice, you can't even do that, you Americans. So she explained herself, and then they felt badly that they held that feeling towards her, but, you know, the mind with different conceptions, and then you have a misunderstanding, etc., and call that life. The mind is very powerful. It rules. In the material world, things are upside down, just like Bhagavad Gita describes. The banyan tree, where the roots are up and the branches are down. So, when things are proper, it's Krishna rules, and under Krishna is the soul, and under the soul is the intelligence, and the intelligence directs the mind, and the mind directs the senses, and that's when things are in proper order. But, in the material world, it's upside down. The senses rule, and the mind does the bidding of the senses, and the intelligence does the bidding of the mind. The soul is going for the ride, thinking, I know happiness is going to happen any moment now, just because I have a good plan. It's upside down. It's topsy-turvy. It's actually fearful. So, our acharyas teach that this realm of material conceptions that the mind so tightly holds on to can be released or broken to pieces by attentive chanting. So we're going to get some tips on from our acharyas on attentive chanting, or how to bring the mind to the holy name. Because it's certainly possible to have the mouth going like this and the mind going like that. I'm sure we've all experienced that every now and then, at least a little bit. The mind is absent instead of present with the holy name. So quality chanting is to bring the mind to the holy name. And one of the, there's two things. Krishna says one of them in Bhagavad Gita, actually says both of them in Bhagavad Gita. One of them is practice. By practice, abhyasa, there's no substitute for that. Regularly recommit to the practice with discipline, with determination, practice. The mind should be present with the holy name. And there needs to be reason for the mind to do that, because otherwise the mind is going to go do other things. So then faith. Krishna certainly speaks about faith in Bhagavad Gita. And we know what basic idea of what faith is. Faith is trust, unflinching trust, that by this one thing, all other desirable things will be accomplished. Whatever that one thing is where you repose your faith. So, aside from examples of material faith, there's spiritual faith, or faith in the holy name is, if I simply repose my mind with the holy name, if I'm present with the holy name, you're going to hear me say this many times, so hopefully it will stick. Be present with the holy name. Now, be present with the holy name can certainly mean on the platform of the soul. And it can certainly also mean from the heart, but at this point it's the mind. It's not who we are, but be present. If the soul makes that decision, then we can direct the mind to be present, not absent, not out to lunch, present, ready to chant with attention. And when once again, when we chant with attention, our acharyas describe the whole sum total of material conceptions are broken to pieces that are held within the mind. Because we know this from Bhagavad Gita also. The mind carries conceptions of life. Just as the air carries aroma, that's one of the things that the mind does. The mind is not the self, the conception is not the self, but the mind carries conceptions. And if we can chant the holy name with attention, then all of them we were speaking before of material attachments, akinchana gochara, materially impoverished, not having attachments, doing services, but service without attachment, without fruitive intention. That's transcendental. Because in the material world, everybody does things with root of intention. Like, who goes to work knowing I won't get paid? I don't know of anybody that would go to work without knowing, in fact, knowing they're not going to get paid. Or, milder, I don't know whether I'm going to get paid or not. I'll still go to work. But so, the transcendental platform is without fruit of attachment. There's not a result that I'm looking for other than just simply to render service to Krishna. And I'm going to read something from the fifth canto. This is Rishabhdev's teachings to Bharat Maharaj. While we're here, I think it starts tomorrow. While we're here in Chicago, Krishna Smarana is in India conducting a yatra on the very same teachings that we're speaking right now. Rishabhdev's teachings, 5th chapter, 5th canto, and 10th and 11th chapter. So this is one of the 11th chapter teachings. I'll preface it first. You've heard the saying, the face is the index to the mind. Prabhupada spoke about that many times. Someone's very distressed. You can see it immediately. What's wrong? You look terrible. So what happened? Face is the, and if they're very joyful. Like I was watching the devotees' faces on Harinam last night, and wow, they were very joyful. And the crowd was also noticing, wow, they're very joyful. Face is the index to the mind. Rishabhdev's teaching similarly is, the mind is the index to the soul. He didn't use the word index, he uses designation, like we have this term, upadhi, sarva upadhi nirmuktam, tatparatvena nirmalam. Upadhi means designation. A designation is something that we aren't. Like, I'm not this body. Or, I'm not a sannyasi. I'm not an American. I'm not a man. You know, it's not, I'm not a phantom either. I'm not a nobody. But this somebody that I am is not this body or the designations of the body. That's who we're not. But a designation is like, you know, a label that applies to something that tells you there's something there, but it's not that. So, Rishabhdev teaches the mind is the soul's designation. The upadhi of the soul. It's what the soul isn't, but it tells that there's a soul present. Right? You with me? Go over here and come back again. Over here is Prabhupada speaking to Cardinal Danielu in Paris. Cardinal of the Roman Catholic Church. Like, you know, next to the Pope, the next guy. Category. So, very elevated person. His sense is the soul is the mind. It's the rational faculty. That's the soul. Well, Rishabhdev teaches, no, it's the index of the soul, the designation of the soul. It tells you there's a soul present, but it's not the soul. So what's going on with the mind tells us at least there's a soul present, but what's going on with the mind is not the soul. Not who we are. It's a designation. So now I'll read what Rishabhdev, this is Canto 5, Chapter 11, Texts 16 and 17. Rishabhdev teaches, the soul's designation, the mind, is the cause of all tribulations. in the material world. That's the greatest enemy part. As long as this fact is unknown to the conditioned living entity, he has to accept the miserable conditions of the material body and wander within this universe in different positions. That's like, you know, your prison sentence. You violate the law, you're put in prison. And endlessly put in prison. Lifetime after lifetime, body after body, birth after birth, suffering condition after suffering condition. Even if you don't like it, too bad. Because the mind is affected by disease, lamentation, illusion, attachment, greed, and enmity, it creates bondage and a false sense of intimacy with the material world. Bad program. This uncontrolled mind is the greatest enemy of the living entity. If one neglects it or gives it a chance, it will grow more and more powerful and it will become victorious, always. Although it is not factual, it is very strong. Now, not factual means it's not who we really are. It's factual in the sense that it's an energy. But through the agency of false ego, we accept the body or the mind as the self. And then it becomes strong. And if we withdraw that sense of identity from the mind or the body, it's not, doesn't have the same strength. We empower the mind by identifying with it, by investing energy, like, you know, valuing the dictates of the mind. Sri Radhika's question, you know, the mind says blah, blah. You go, oh, really? Maybe I should listen to your good counsel. Even though I know blah, blah is blah, blah. It's not good counsel. So withdraw consciousness from the blah, blah, the dictates of the mind, and invest consciousness in the understandings of the eternal soul. Thank you. It covers the mind, uncontrolled mind, covers the constitutional position of the soul. Oh, King, please try to conquer this mind by the weapon of service unto the lotus feet of the spiritual master and of the supreme personality of Godhead. Do this with great care. Okay, so we're going to try to do this with great care. And what's the instruction again? Service unto the spiritual master and Krishna. Service to Guru and Krishna. That's our instruction. That's the weapon. What does service to the spiritual master mean? Spiritual master instructions is our access to the spiritual master, to serving the spiritual master. Common sense. We use the term a lot, and we may not connect with that from the heart, but here, that's what it means. Serve, not just the behavior, but with the spirit, the mood of service. Let me carry this out. So chanting is the number one service. There's so many important services. What's the number one service? Chanting. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya asked that question of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What's the most important? There's so many beneficial things described in the Vedas. What's the most important beneficial thing? Chanting the holy name. So, the spiritual master teaches that, and so the disciple receives that instruction. Now, that's how you connect with or serve the spiritual master. You join whatever are the other activities that you do, also given a service with the chanting of the holy name. And here's another instruction connected to some of the discussions that have taken place earlier and then during the break. The holy name of Krishna and Krishna are not different. That's like a teaching. So when we're chanting, we should be present with Krishna because we're inviting Krishna through calling his holy name. Like if I said, Jai Jagannath, it's not like, you know, Jai Jagannath. It's Jai Jagannath, the person. And it will capture his attention and he'll say, yes, Maharaj, what service can I do? There's a personal connection. When we're calling Krishna, there's a personal connection. Krishna is present immediately. There's no, like, delay. Krishna is present always, but bringing Krishna to our consciousness is like that. It's at once. It's very personal. There's a Vaishnava Acharya story in this connection. This is, you know, instructions from our Acharya. So here's one. Some of you have been to Govardhan Hill. Yes? How many have been to Govardhan Hill? Ooh. So, when you're going to Govardhan Hill, you go up to the main Delhi Agra road, you go some distance and you make a left and you go down this little old roadway, right? Down and down and down. And as you're going really down until it's like very dense, open, undeveloped, at the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was practically a jungle. That's where Lokanath Goswami stayed. He was a very humble, an absolutely humble person. So to not attract attention because of his spiritual elevation, he kept himself very remote, but also he appreciated the solitude. In course of time, he accepted Narottam Das Thakur as a disciple. Long description. But so here's Narottam Das Thakur and Lokanath Goswami, two pure devotees of the Lord, sitting together chanting the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. And chanting and chanting, and upon the scene where they're chanting comes a Brijbasi. And he's a Brijbasi farmer. So he asks, may I have some water? So Narottam is thinking, he's a Brijbasi. He's a Vaishnav. Let me serve the Vaishnav. So he stopped chanting, went to the well, got some water, and the farmer took the water and thanked him and went away. He came back to sit down to continue his chanting. Lokanath Goswami said, you offender, you are unfit to live in Vrindavan. You should leave at once. What have I done wrong, my spiritual master? You were serving Radha and Krishna, and you turned your back on Radha and Krishna. The farmer knows where there's water. It's in the well. The instruction, not that we shouldn't serve Vaishnavas if they ask for water. The instruction is, he was in such a deep state of absorption in chanting of the holy name that he was realizing and was instructing his disciple to understand, when you're chanting the holy name, you're with Krishna. There's no inattention. There's rapt attention. Krishna is making himself so accessible through the holy name when chanting. There's another instructive story. I heard this one from Niranjana Maharaj. The instructive story is, once upon a time there was a disciple who, this is one of his generic stories, who approached his spiritual master and said, can you give me the most confidential thing? He said, surely. And he instructed him in the chanting of the holy name. He gave him the Maha Mantra, initiated him in the Maha Mantra, and explained the glories of the holy name. And this is the most confidential thing. So the disciple was thinking, oh, I'm so fortunate, the most confidential thing. So he was going along the street, chanting, and he came to a place where there was a fisherman, and the fisherman was loudly chanting the holy name as he was pulling in his fishing net. And the disciple couldn't understand, what's this? Fisherman chanting the holy name. Then he went a little further. He saw a washerman. The washerman was taking the clothes and banging the clothes on the rock and saying, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram. Thinking, wait, this is the most confidential thing. I thought it was so confidential. But here, then he saw some boys playing, little boys, and they were chanting, kicking a ball, saying, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. So his, we say in ISKCON, he was fried. It's our vernacular. So then he went back to his guru and said, I thought this was the most confidential thing. Can you, what's going on? Can you explain to me? So confidential, even a fisherman, a washerman, and little kids kicking a ball. They're chanting. So his guru decided, let me teach you in the following way. See this? This is a touchstone. See, take this touchstone, go to each of those three groups of people, and see if they're willing to give something of its equal value back. So, do it short. And when he went to the fisherman, this is useless. It won't help bring my nets to the bottom of the water so I can pull in the fish. So, what do I have any use for this thing? He didn't tell him what it was. He didn't tell him what it was. Just, would you give something of equal value to this? Went to the washerman. The washerman said, well, it's not big enough to use to bang the clothes on. You know, I need a big flat stone. So I don't think I really would want to give something of value for that. And he went to the kids, and they, you know, we can't play ball with this, we can't kick it or hit it, or so it's of no use. So then he went back to his guru and said, now I understand. Because they didn't know the value of the touchstone, they weren't willing to sacrifice anything for it. And similarly, the confidential thing that you've given is what the holy name really is and what the holy name can do for one who chants it with attention. So that's what you've given me, along with the chanting of the holy name, the most confidential part, the relationship with Krishna, the glories of Krishna and the relationship with Krishna. So the non-difference between Krishna and his holy name is when received from proper sources and our mind goes there, that this is Krishna. We know, so how do we get that realization? It's not going to be from absentee chanting. It's going to be from attentive chanting. And then the potencies of Krishna, or further the relationship of Krishna with Krishna, can be disclosed to us. Okay, so now one other section. This is going to be experiential, hopefully. I want to cover three techniques or instructions that Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives and how to bring the mind to the holy name. So, first of all, is it possible I'll give you a hint. The answer is yes. Is it possible to direct the mind? It's possible to direct the mind. Although the mind wants to do what the mind wants to do, the mind has its conditioned tendencies, but the mind can be directed. So let's do a little experiment, experiential experiment. I'm following in the footsteps of Satchinandan Swami here. We'll all softly chant together, and then I'm going to make some suggestion, and I'll tell you ahead of time what the suggestion is. The suggestion is, with your eyes closed, but please don't fall asleep yet, think of your worshipable deity, whether it's your deity at home or your deity in your temple, some deity that you feel some affinity to. It can be Radhashyama Sundar in Vrindavan, or whatever deity is your, where you can hold a picture in your mind. So we're going to see if we can bring, while chanting the holy name, to bring your mind to that deity form. Okay, so let's sit straight so we don't fall asleep while our eyes are closed. And softly we'll chant together. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Continue chanting. While you continue chanting, think of your deity within your mind. Picture your deity with turban or crown and garland. Nice colorful dress, ornaments. Doable, isn't it? It's not just power of suggestion, it's if the mind is directed, the mind can be fixed upon something. And by practice, the mind can be fixed upon the holy name. So that's what our three exercises are going to be, the three tips or instructions of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. How to bring the mind to the holy name. There's two functions when you're chanting. Receiving and vibrating. Often we think of the vibrating part. But according to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, just making the sound is not what he means by chanting. But chanting is when you receive within your heart the pure holy name, and then what happens when you receive the pure holy name, the expression that comes, that's chanting. So it's a call for Lord Nityananda specifically, he says. My dear Lord Nityananda, please, you're the most merciful deliverer of the pure holy name, kindly bring that pure holy name within my heart. And in that mood, when that touches the heart, that sound that one makes, that's chanting. So there's receiving, and there's also vibrating when you're chanting. And the mind becomes locked when there are these two things, both receiving and making of sound or vibrating, spiritual sound. The mind gets locked. So let's see if we can accomplish what Bhaktivinoda Thakur wants to help us do, bring the mind to Krishna, be present with Krishna, at least the mind. The first instruction he gives is to appreciate the characteristics of the holy name. So one of those characteristics, one of the foremost characteristics, is the name of Krishna and Krishna are non-different. Abhinatvam nama namino, from Padma Purana. Abhinatvam, having the quality of non-difference. Nama namino, the name and the object named are the same. So, what Bhaktivinoda Thakur says is a way to verbalize that concept is, my Lord, you have come on my tongue, now please enter my heart. So we're vibrating, we're making a sound, so that sound is Krishna, but it has yet to touch my heart, so we're inviting Krishna to enter into our heart. And then that sound, that we connect the two. So we'll do the same type of exercise. This is bringing the mind to the holy name. So we'll chant and I'll make the suggestion. You listen, see if you can bring the mind to that suggestion, to the non-difference between Krishna and the holy name, and have it enter your heart. So we'll chant together again. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. My dear Lord, you have come upon my tongue. Now please enter my heart. Okay, thank you very much. I think that, I know the technique. I'll ring cartels, that'll be the sound, the sign to end. So, like that, one can chant, and a companion exercise is, as the previous one, you bring your mind to your deity and appreciate that Krishna's deity form and Krishna's holy name, they're non-different. Krishna's form and Krishna's name are non-different. And that will not come about just by mental adjustment, like Prabhupada taught us. The chanting of the holy name is not a imposition, a foreign imposition upon the mind, like technology, learning how to do something, how to write a computer software program. That's not inherent and intrinsic to the soul. It's something from outside that we learn the skill for. It's not who we are. But there's something that is who we are. And the chanting of the holy name is completely of the same nature as the soul, the non-different aspect of the holy name. And there's a way to, he's offering this technique of how to enter into that non-difference by meditating on the sound that you, Krishna, you've come upon my tongue. Now please enter into my heart. Or this Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. You can try this when you're chanting. I like the Bhakti Siddhanta one in particular. When the, and you take it up in the spirit, and you'll experience the mind gets locked. Mind can be attentive and stay attentive for longer than otherwise. Longer than normal. My dear Lord Nityananda, please deliver the pure holy name. Please give me the pure holy name. And chant in that consciousness, receiving that chanting, the mind is connected. And it's a very wonderful experience, a totally different experience. Or the deity form and the name are not different. Okay, so that's one exercise. Then another exercise is the relationship with Krishna. Chant, calling, what is the Prabhupada's teaching of what chanting means, is, O energy of the Lord, Hara, and the vocative becomes Hare, O energy of the Lord, please engage me in service unto the Supreme Master, Krishna, and to my eternal Father, Krishna, please engage me in service. So it's a relationship appeal, it's specifically a relationship of service. A shortened form of that, same thing, Bhaktivinoda Thakur offers is, Krishna, please accept me. And please accept me. The mood is, we turned our back on Krishna. And we walked. Like, you know, I'm out of here. I had enough of my relationship with you. I'm leaving. It's over. And we went into the kingdom of Maya, and we found it wasn't a good program. And now we'd like to be back with Krishna. But, you know, why would Krishna, after we've done so many mean, cruel, hateful, bad things, why would Krishna want us back? Of course, Krishna wants us back because he's a loving father. He naturally wants us back. But the resistance is over here, not over there. Not Krishna's unsure, I don't know if I want you back. We're not sure we want to. So the call, Krishna, please accept me, is it's opening of our heart to our relationship of loving service unto Krishna. Please accept me again in your service. So I'm not going to do the suggestion part, but we'll do the chanting again. And then see if you can bring the mind to that mood of relationship with Krishna. Krishna, please accept me. And we'll do the same thing when we're done with these exercises during kirtan. Chant with that same mood. Well, now it works also with chanting with kirtan as well as with japa. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, please accept me. Krishna, 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 Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Okay. Then we'll move on to the third one that Bhaktivinoda Thakur has recommended, and that is the relationship that we abandoned and for so long have abandoned, and trying to reestablish that relationship with Krishna. There, in mature stages, there may be some feelings of separation. And it's a very important part of Gaudiya Vaishnav teaching, is to enter into, even cultivate, feelings of separation, because feelings of separation intensify feelings. Feelings of separation intensify feelings. Krishna explains like this, that to the gopis, that he left them so that their feelings for him would grow. And they would not feel pride in their heart that they were with Krishna, but they would feel separation from Krishna. That would intensify their love. So, there's so much to say on that topic, but it's part of the gift of Lord Chaitanya, the gift of love of God, that Lord Chaitanya came to give through the medium of chanting, that will enhance the quality of chanting if we chant with feeling, specifically the feelings of separation. So here's Bhaktivinoda Thakur refers to a verse by Sanat Kumar. I'm going to read the verse, and then we'll pick up our chanting again, trying to appreciate this mood, not only that restoring the relationship, but the feeling of not having that relationship again fully manifested. But here's Sanat Kumar, who says that if one offers this prayer while chanting with feeling, one will surely attain Radha and Krishna. So here's his the verse, the translation. O Radha Krishna, you are my protectors from the ocean of material existence, which is filled with sons, friends, household, and land. Therefore, you are known as the destroyers of fear for those surrendered unto you. So, his advice is with heart-rending lamentation that we abandoned our relationship with Krishna. We're trying to restore that relationship with Krishna. Our desire is not sufficient. Krishna is not showing himself. Krishna, please make yourself manifest. So, we'll chant like that. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
So, two things. That's not, what we just did is not like, you know, the beginning and the end of everything that there is to know about bringing the mind to the holy name. And the second thing, so there's, we'll cover some more things. Second is, this is the application, because the, because our mind is conditioned, we're conditioned, that there's a tendency, the conditioned tendency prevails. So it takes some abhyasa, it takes some practice, it takes discipline. So coming up just now, we'll have kirtan, and you can apply the same principles during kirtan. And if you have more japa to chant today, probably many of us do, myself included, try to apply these principles, and particularly, you know, tomorrow morning, there'll be some more instructions tomorrow to prepare us for the 32 round days. These are just on Sunday. So these are just instructions. The headline of the topic is instructions from our acharyas. And so instructions on how to improve the quality of our chanting. It takes practice. Receive the instructions so it moves in your heart, and then apply. Experience is that different things resonate with different devotees, but something will stick and resonate, and with that, whatever it is that resonates, go with it. You may find several things will come and resonate in your heart, will help you, say, we'll just focus on 32 round day for the purpose of improving the quality of chanting altogether. And we chant japa every day, and we sometimes have the opportunity to come together with sankirtan, to come to the temple or get together in some home. So this is another very nice opportunity to just to focus on our immediate topic. Bring the mind to the holy name. Receive the holy name. Call out the holy name. Invite Krishna to enter into the heart, to accept you again in his relationship, or our relationship with him. Enter into the spirit of that activity. And it's a whole other experience. The holy name is sweet in any case, but it's a whole other experience when you bring the mind fully to Krishna.